Genius.
The fully realized vision of an authentic American genius.
We need your brain.
Don't you have a brain in your head?
Oh, then I will have to adjust your brain a bit.
Every day, Billy the Brain talks with the best guests in America.
Cool.
About business.
The boss that works for you.
Entertainment. Sports.
Turn now to sports.
And the local community.
Radio keeps its eye on local events.
It's time for brainstorming.
My brain is like mush.
With Billy the Brain.
Sounds like fun. Let's go.
Now, here's your host, Billy the Brain.
Hi, this is Bill Frank, and you're listening to Brainstormin' with Billy the Brain. We're live every day, Monday through Friday at 10 o'clock here on KKZZ, Positive Talk Radio for Ventura and Santa Barbara counties. You can also hear us streaming over the internet at brainstorminonline.com. My goal is to bring you interviews with thought leaders in business, entertainment, sports, and the local community. Together, we'll listen to what these people say and relate it to how we live and work right here in Ventura County. Brainstorming with Billy the Brain is smart radio with sharp questions aimed at intelligent guests. It's talk radio done right for the 21st century. If you want to join in the conversation, you can call us at 639-0008, or if you're outside of the area code, it's area code 805-639-0008. Every show has a theme, and today's theme is good guy, bad guy. Each of my guests will discuss qualities of a good or a bad person. My first guest is a four-time West Coast Conference Coach of the Year in tennis for Santa Clara University. He's also a leadership development trainer. We'll discuss the good leadership qualities one learns in sports. My second guest is a former Major League Baseball outfielder, best known for keeping clubhouses loose with occasional pranks and gimmicks. We'll talk baseball and the role that humor plays in good leadership. My third guest is an award-winning journalist and a scholar who brings to life the story of Erich Jan Hansen, a popular Jewish stage magician and mentalist from Austria, who became popular in Berlin when he rubbed elbows with the high-ranking Nazi officials and even advised Adolf Hitler. We'll discuss his book, The Nazi Seance. And if you want to join in the conversation, you can call us at 639-0008. My first guest, Sean Burns, is an executive coach and a professional speaker and a trainer. Sean completed his training at the Hudson Institute right up the road in Santa Barbara, California. Sean is certified through the International Coach Federation. He works with executives and entrepreneurs on their leadership, team building, and goal setting skills. Prior to starting his company, Burns Coaching, Sean spent 2003 in Dublin, Ireland, earning his MBA degree at Trinity College. Sean spent most of his career working in athletics. He earned a world ranking as a player on the professional tennis circuit. And then, from 1993 to 2002, he served as the men's tennis coach at Santa Clara University. Sean took over a struggling program and produced 8 winning seasons in 9 years. He was the 4-time West Coast Conference Coach of the Year, as I said before, and his team got national rankings in each of his last 3 years. Outside of Burns Coaching, Sean also runs a real estate investment firm, Bonaventure Properties, LLC. Joining us from the Bay Area. Hi, Sean. How are you today?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me, Bill.
Well, thank you for being our guest. And always fun to talk to somebody who has excelled both in sports and in business, and you've certainly done that. You became ranked as a professional tennis player before you became a tennis coach, and then before you became a personal development coach. So how did becoming a ranked tennis player sort of exemplify the process that you teach clients about reaching a goal?
That process was a long and arduous one that started many, many years before achieving that ranking. And what I learned mostly about that process, say after college when I was just focused on competing, was having a singular focus and having an action plan with actionable steps. So I had this vision to attain a world ranking. Actually, my vision was to attain a much higher world ranking than I actually achieved, but having a plan with steps that I could take. And I really learned to be process focused at that time. So not to say that I want to achieve this particular result, but I want to go about it by taking these particular steps. So really looking at what did I have to do diet-wise? What did I have to do exercise fitness-wise? What did I have to do on the court? What kind of coaching did I need? And really breaking down those steps with regard to the process.
All right, and that makes a lot of sense. You say that you had really set process goals in place. Talk to me about why you set process goals versus attainment goals.
Well, in tennis, there were times when I played a fantastic match, but I wasn't good enough to beat that particular opponent. That player was just better than I was. I couldn't look at that as a negative experience. I had to look at that as a positive experience. But if my whole goal was to win that match, then that's a loss. And what I needed to look at is, how did I approach that particular match? So I had a coach that really was process-focused, and he would say, okay, I want you to attack the net on this percentage of points. And so if I was able to do that, I was then able to learn, okay, I went into the net 80% of the time, and I lost 50% of the points. How do I need to adjust that so I can be more effective at coming in? If he wanted me to hit a certain type of serve a certain percentage of the time, I was able to learn every time. When I followed that process afterwards, I was able to say, okay, this is what I know worked, and this is what I know didn't, and I can improve on those things. If my entire goal or my entire thinking was, I just want to win this match, I would have lost out on a lot of that learning.
That makes a lot of sense. My guest is Sean Burns. So, Sean, draw the similarities then between operating at peak performance in sports, as you did in tennis, and operating at peak performance in business.
If we're thinking about the achievement side, say away from leading people, but how do we get business done? Again, it's really being clear about how we want to go about doing our business. So right now, I am working with a group on developing a leadership program. We really have to look at what is it that we want to accomplish in the end, and break it down into really actionable steps. So what are the steps that we can actually achieve, and how do we measure against those metrics? So how do we each step say, okay, what did we accomplish that we set out to accomplish? What did we not accomplish? What are we going to do differently about those things? So it's just like in that tennis match, saying, I hit these serves. This is the success rate that I have on those. What do I have to do differently going forward? It's the exact same process in laying out a business program.
All right. That makes sense. Sean, you mentioned the importance of your coach when you were playing in the professional tennis circuit. The success that you achieved as a tennis coach over at Santa Clara University is pretty remarkable. 8 winning seasons in 9 years. You turned around what was a struggling team, made them into winners. 3 national rankings for your team in 9 years. You were the 4-time coach of the year. What was the secret of your success coaching, motivating, and developing your tennis team over at Santa Clara?
I think there were different areas. One was I had a group of players when I arrived who could play, who were good athletes, but who had not figured out how to really make a commitment to being exceptional. And I remember a poignant story for me, not a funny story, but we lost the first match that I coached. We lost at UC Santa Cruz, and we were Division I at Santa Clara, and Santa Cruz was Division III, but they were a fantastic Division III program. They have they had a coach at the time, Bob Hansen, who's a legendary coach and was a real mentor for me. And they were great. They beat us really badly that day. It was 8-0 at a certain time out of 9 points, and the last match was still on the court. And I had about maybe 2 of my 10 players who were still watching the match. The rest of them were off watching a basketball practice or watching some girls swimming. They were not focused on the 2 guys who were left. They had lost the match, and what did they care? Well, Santa Cruz's team had won the match 8-0, and they had their entire team and all their fans standing around that court cheering on their guys and so excited to win that last match to win 9-0. We ended up winning that particular match. So we lost 8-1. I was really proud of the 2 guys who competed, and we left, and we went to dinner at Round Table Pizza. I was obviously very concerned about our players' diet, so we went to Round Table Pizza. And afterwards, you know, the guys had a nice time at Round Table, and I was okay with that, but afterwards they said they started walking across the street to Baskin Robbins, again, a very healthy, nutritious group, and I said, where are you guys going? They said, we're going over to Baskin Robbins. I said, no, you're not. We're getting in the car. And they said, what's your problem? Yeah, we always do that. I said, maybe, but we're not doing it tonight. They said, what's wrong with you? And I said, you guys got to listen for a second. You guys just lost the match, and it doesn't seem to bother you at all. I have never lost a match as a college coach before. Granted, it was my first one. But this hurts me, and it doesn't seem to hurt you at all. Right now is not a time for us to celebrate and go pat ourselves on the back and go get ourselves some ice cream. Right now is time to get in the van and think about what happened today and think about how we make that not happen going forward. And I'm not pleased about it. Now, I wasn't mad at them for losing the match. We lost to a better team. That was okay. But I wanted them to feel the pain of that loss. And I didn't want them to be comfortable with losing, which they were at that time. And I feel like that was, in my first season, the biggest difference was they stopped being comfortable with losing.
Well, it's a very poignant story and sounds like a turning point in their careers and your careers as well. My guest is Sean Burns. We're talking about leadership development and sports. So, Sean, what other ways did you maximize the effectiveness of your tennis teams?
I think just helping them get a little bit more intentional about their game. So sitting down with each of them before the season and saying, what is it you want to accomplish? What would a successful season be for you? And early on, I would encourage all of them. Almost all of them wanted to be number one, and they wanted to win all their matches, and I would really encourage them to have those dreams. I feel like as my career went on, I tried to get a little bit to rein in those, not to dream so much, but help them be more realistic about what they could accomplish in the short term. Because if they had those crazy lofty dreams and they weren't even close to achieving those, a lot of times frustration set in. So I would say, okay, maybe you want to be number one, but you're number eight right now. So let's talk about how you can get into the top six would start. So let's talk about how you could get into the top six. What are the things that you need to do right now that you're not doing that the top six guys are doing? So what can you do to address those? And I think I was able to help them focus in on the areas where they could really get better and start to make incremental improvements rather than making this unbelievable jump from one year to the next.
All right, Sean, now I'm going to ask you to be a little introspective, if you will, please. What impact did you as the leader have on your team, and what lessons are there for business leaders to learn from your experience?
Oh, I think you'd have to ask them. I don't know exactly. I think it would be different for each guy, I think. And for some, frankly, I probably didn't have much of an impact on it at all. I think for others, I helped that group that I mentioned really dislike losing. And there were other guys who I have another player who I recruited before my last season. And this is a guy who's one of the best players in Northern California. He was really talented and really accomplished. He also was known for being a bit arrogant on the court, and he sometimes acted up on the court. But I knew him personally, and I thought I knew he was a really good guy. He just wasn't as disciplined. And when I recruited him, I signed him. He's a great player. People said to me, hey, you got a great player, but you're going to have a lot of behavior problems with him. And I would say, no, we're not. It's not going to be an issue at all. I know him, and I talk to him, and we've set really clear expectations. And people said, oh, you're going to have all sorts of problems. People kept saying that. I said, we will not have problems. We won't have problems for a week, I guarantee you. So he came to the team, and on the first day, he threw his racket, and I just looked at our captain. I didn't say anything. I looked at our captain, and our captain said, okay, everyone line up. We're running right now. And then he turned to that player, and he said, you hold on to your racket. About 5 minutes later, he threw his racket again, just not thinking. He's a good kid, but he just had bad habits. And again, our captain said, all right, everyone line up. We're running right now. And then they ran. It was a tough run. And then he grabbed that guy, and he said, you and I are going to run again. And he said, and if you don't hold on to your racket from now on, we're going to have a serious problem. So in that instance, we were able to build a culture of expectation about this is how we do things here. And these behaviors are acceptable. This is what we're striving to do. These behaviors are unacceptable. We're not going to tolerate them. And that particular individual who made the team run, he made him run one more time that day and a couple times the next day. Then he didn't throw his racket again because that was not a comfortable situation for him. That player won a national sportsmanship award his senior year. He won more matches ever than anyone at Santa Clara by the time he graduated. He won a National Sportsmanship Award, and he was on ESPN. And that is a really proud accomplishment because he had that in him, but because of that culture that we had created in a level of high standard, he moved in that direction.
Well, that's a very moving story. My guest is Sean Burns. So, Sean, it begs the big question. With so much success and obviously having an impact on so many young men's lives, why did you leave coaching tennis to move into coaching business professionals?
Well, when I left, I didn't have a grand vision in mind, frankly. But I didn't really – while I loved working with the guys and I was always honored to help shepherd their dreams – with regard to tennis, I stopped loving tennis. I didn't care that much if they were bending their knees on their backhand or extending on their serve. That just didn't matter to me that much. And it's really hard to do that job for 24/7 without that passion. So while I felt terrible about leaving the guys, it wasn't something that excited me. I loved doing it every minute that I was there. I just couldn't envision myself doing it going forward.
Now, that makes a lot of sense. So, Sean, as we're heading into the new year, what advice do you have for managers and entrepreneurs about leadership and inspiring peak performance in their teams as we head into 2012?
Two things. One is to listen really well so that they can know each of the people who are on their team. And then number two, to really be intentional as a leader. So not just to default to a certain leadership style that I use because it's worked for me thus far, but to really think about what kind of impact you want to have on your team, what kind of impact you want to have on an individual. What are your team's overarching needs? What is each individual's needs? And really being intentional about how you meet each of those needs.
Well, that requires some change sometimes on the part of the leader. How did you adjust your style for the individuals so that you could really match their needs?
Well, by making some mistakes, for sure. There's a lot I've learned about leadership since leaving Santa Clara, and I wish that I had known some of that. Like you mentioned in your introduction, about my attending the Hudson Institute of Santa Barbara, and I learned a lot about coaching and a lot about leadership and the ability to understand the people that we're working with in order to help them formulate their own plans and their own ideas. And that way they engage in the process more, they own the process more, and they're much more likely to be successful. So that is one thing, one of many things I learned at the Hudson Institute that was really, really helpful for me, and I wish I had use that strategy a little bit more effectively when I was coaching athletes.
Well, valuable lesson indeed. My guest has been Sean Burns. We've been talking about leadership development and sports. Sean, if people are intrigued by what you have to say, they want to learn more about you, learn more about your coaching, where would you direct them to go on the Internet?
So I have a website that's in process right now, but they can send me an email, the email that you have, and they can reach out that way.
All right, and give that email for people who might be listening.
That's Sean, S-E-A-N, at Leadership Development Team. That's one word, leadershipdevelopmentteam.com. We don't have enough time for me to spell it out, I don't think.
No, that's all right.
It's Sean, just like the word.
Just like it sounds, leadershipdevelopmentteam.com, Sean at Leadership Development. Sean, it has been a delight. Thank you so much for being my special guest. We'll talk to you down the road.
All right, thanks for reaching out.
Thank you.